individuals and moving range charts is a variation of the X-bar and R chart, and it comes in pretty handy when you're only able to get one sample at a time to make measurements. And there's a variety of different circumstances when that comes into play. Maybe the production volume is relatively low, and making a measurement one at a time is all you feasibly have access to. Or it's expensive to make the measurement or time-consuming in some way. So it can be lots of different reasons you only get one sample. And, you can still make a control chart. So they come in pretty handy in those circumstances when you have those constraints and limited number of samples. You give up a little bit you give up a little bit of capability of the control chart to detect changes. It also takes longer. In order to detect a shift in the mean of your individual readings, it's going to take more samples to actually sense the change in the underlying distribution. And so you may have shifted 1.5 standard deviations, but you're only taking one sample. And the probability of that single sample signaling an out-of-control circumstance is pretty low. But it may take a while before you notice that there's a shift. So that's one of the things to be aware of when charting individual data. So here's a simple drawing of a individual's chart. So instead of measuring, say, 5 samples and then taking the average of it, we're just going to plot the actual value. So we made a reading, and in this case, instead of the average being 12.4, this one, the value of the individual reading was 12.4. And you typically see the lines connecting the chart, so you can get a little bit better visualization of what's going on. And you can see that there's a big change in the distance between those two points, and that's where it's plotted here as a change in the moving range chart. And that's this individual point in the moving range is the difference between the previous point and the current point. So it's one way to calculate a range is to take the last two points and take the difference. So the difference between this point and this one is this moving range element here. So the more points you include in the moving range, if you go back 3, 4, or 5 points, the smoother your moving range chart will be, but it will also then take longer before you can detect a change in the range. So it's typically done with just the previous point and the current point in order to calculate it. Now, one of the things on an individual's chart is the scale you're dealing with is the same as your specifications. So it's not uncommon, although I don't advise it until you know you've got a stable process, is to put the specifications on here, the specification limits, the lower and upper spec limits. Hopefully they're outside your control limits, but they may not always be so. The trouble is that you should be interpreting your chart versus the rules and the control limits versus your specifications. Even though you know you want to make products that are in spec, you want to primarily create a process that's in control, that's stable. And so that's why I typically discourage people from putting specifications on control charts. So there's a couple of formulas, a couple of factors. E2 is a little bit different factor than we've seen before, and instead of the A2 factor. But it also is looking at, well, how many samples are you taking going back? So here it goes back 2 to 5 samples on the moving range part, which really only affects D4 sample size, since we're doing individual readings for the control limit. And so and X bar is after you've taken 25 or so samples, you calculate the X bar and then calculate out your moving range. But the D the E2 values are really, well, I'm going to have to double check to see why we have n equal 2, 3, 4, or 5 there for the E2 values. Oh, I know why. I know why. I'm sorry. Confused myself here. It's because of the moving range. If I go back two samples, or just take the previous sample and my current sample, that's going to give me the 2.66, which then gives me the control limits for the X bar. Because we still need a estimate of the variation. And as we get more samples included in the range calculation, this factor goes down. So yeah, that makes sense. Sorry there, confused myself a little bit. But E2 times that moving range is going to give us that three standard, in this case, standard deviation term, right about our individual's readings average. Hope I didn't confuse that too much. Let me know if that's not clear. So another slight variation to this is the moving average, or moving X-bar chart and moving range chart. It's very similar, very similar to just the moving range chart. In fact, that part is exactly the same. But in this case, we take in the few previous samples and average those and plot the next one. It's the X bar chart. And so we use the X bar and R chart formulas for the limits. It's just that you can see that it's going to smooth out those individual readings. And if we have to group the last two, three, or whatever set of readings into an average, so it may take us a little longer to actually get a point to plot if it's if we're getting individuals data, but it still gives us the benefit of an X bar R chart in dealing with individual readings. So it's a way to do it. And so have you thought through, or if, in fact, if you've used control charts at all, what kind of things are you measuring? And I'm curious in that regards. If you leave a comment or something, I'd appreciate it. But also, if you've got a control chart that's been running for a while, is it still adding useful information, adding value? In more than one place, I've seen where they talk about a control chart that's been in place and operating for years and years and years. And my question to them is, well, what have you changed in the process that has made it more stable or improve the, you know, the performance of your product, made it more capable in the recent past, in the last 6 months or so? And if there's nothing at all, it's just there to collect data and plot it, and there's no decisions that are being made based on that, then, well, what exactly are you doing? Are there other parts of your process that this would be better suited to spend your time to make improvements? And I often see that happen when there's a spot or a location on a production line when you have data readily available. It's easy to do a control chart. It may not be the best place to do the control chart. It's just a convenient place to do control charting. And so be careful about where you set up charts and periodically review where you've got them running and are they still adding value. So next we'll dive into the world of attribute charts and talk about a few of the different ones that are available there.